Saving money in your next painting project now at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect finish for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. Save big on Dutch Boy paints. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and get your painting project started today. Save big money
at Menards. Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
And Pena hits one high and deep to left field. Winker all the way back. He'll watch this one go. Back-to-back jacks to start the game. Altuve and Pena. It's 2-0 Astros.
The first inning was hot yesterday. The entire weekend was hot in general for the Astros. I don't know what other evidence people need that this is the best team in baseball. I'm Vanessa Richardson. That's Paul Gallant. Sean Mapes is behind the glass as usual. We are going to be discussing, I don't want to use the word shame, we're going to be discussing the fact that Paul went to Seattle this weekend and wore a Seattle Mariners shirt because he used to work there.
Well, hang on. It was a half Mariners, half Astros shirt.
Even significantly worse.
So I don't know. I like to show support to my children.
Yeah, well, so in the next segment, you want to stay tuned for that because it will be the roast of the double split jersey shirt. But for now, let's talk about the best team in baseball. Astros beat the Mariners on Friday 5-2, Saturday 3-1, and yesterday, even though Yordan Alvarez was on the bench, they still kicked butt 8-5.
What a series for Jose Altuve. If you go back to Friday night, Vanessa, I remember sitting down at T-Mobile Park to watch the game. It was a sold-out crowd. People were very excited for it. And right before the start of the game, when they found out that one, Julio Rodriguez, who of course was so awesome during the home run derby, wasn't going to play, followed minutes later by Jose Altuve going yard to open things up. It was like they stole their soul in that moment. And I think that the Mariners fans that were in the stadium started thinking to themselves, oh great, this is just a continuation of our entire existence. And for the Astros, it's just another continuation of what has been a really impressive return from the All-Star break. I mean, first off, sweeping the Yankees in that doubleheader, which I didn't get to talk about on Friday, that was really impressive. But then to come in and really just stuff the Mariners in a locker, who are in the midst of a 14-game winning streak, it was incredibly impressive. It's what you expect from these guys. When it's big-time moments, they will always, I feel like, have a little bit more mettle than whoever they're playing.
So for weeks and weeks, I've heard from possibly you that the Mariners are creeping up from behind. And you're not completely wrong. They are a really great team. Julio Rodriguez is who he is. You were at the game. Were at the game. So what did you see? Why did this fall apart for the Mariners?
They're just not as good as the Astros. It's that simple. I mean, really, they have a superstar player. That superstar player, Julio Rodriguez, could keep them, I think, they could allow them to make things interesting, but maybe we'll find something out different in the next couple of series that the Astros and Mariners do have against one another before the end of the year. But, I mean, this is just more of the same. You know, they're not ready yet. I do think that at some point the Mariners will be enough of a thorn in the Astros side to actually make them sweat. Earlier this year, you could have made that case. But, I mean, this Astros team right now, they are rolling on all cylinders.
The thing about this Astros team, too, is that it's not just a couple of superstars. So you have Martin Maldonado, who added in two insurance runs. You have a pitching staff that's really versatile, even without Lance McCullers Jr. We'll get to him in a minute. But it's not just one player like on the Mariners or like on some teams where you have one superstar. You have guys like Mauricio Dubon. Random, but he has a couple of quality hits. Chasmanian Devil, Chaz McCormick, has done really well as well. Had a home run the other day.
Is he allowed to have a nickname?
He is. Yeah. Chasmanian Devil.
Wow, Sean Mapes is nodding his head behind the glass.
Yes, thank you, Sean.
He's good enough to have a nickname?
When the nickname's that good, yes, you can have a nickname.
Thank you.
Is that original, too?
It is original.
Is he from Tasmania?
No,
let me Google it.
His last name is McCormick, so the answer is no.
Former high school basketball star in Pennsylvania, I think?
Yes. I mean, when I think of Tasmania, I think of Pennsylvania.
That's a very white high school basketball player nickname, Tasmanian Devil.
I mean, his Twitter thing is Chazzy Fizzy. That's no, even it's worse. Not. That's, it, is I'm it so really? Glad we don't do that.
Yeah. Okay, fine. If that's the alternative.
Exactly. Then it's context.
I think it was Todd Callis that called him Jasmanian Devil, but I like it. I love a good nickname. I love a good nickname.
No, you have to be a certain level of talent to get a nickname.
He's
right?
talented. He's in the big leagues.
Major League Baseball.
Yeah,
player.
So we're good on that.
Fine. But
so Jasmanian Devil, you know, Jeremy Pena. There were a lot of guys that contributed to the wins this weekend. But it was complete team wins, it seemed like, every day. How about Justin Verlander?
Oh, my 39 God.
Years old, continues to age like fine wine. He didn't play in the All-Star game, but he and his wife and their daughter, I think, were still the stars of it. On the red carpet, and he returned from...
You actually watched the red carpet before the All-Star game?
I did.
Okay.
And his wife, Kate Upton, hot. Listen, I like men, but she is hot.
Okay, you're still on the Kate Upton train.
Yeah, how are you not? Have you seen her?
Yeah, I've seen her.
So you're over Kate Upton?
I guess so. I never was as into Kate Upton as other people were. That's not to say that she's unattractive. She's just not my type, if that makes sense.
It's nice to know that every once in a while, Paul can just surprise me. Just throw a curveball at us.
Yeah.
Wow. Welcome back.
Wow, you're still on Kate Upton? Yeah, she's hot.
Well, I mean, you watched the red carpet for the All-Star game.
No, I just saw clips on
you
Twitter.
Saw clips,
I was
okay.
at the All-Star game. Okay. I just saw clips on Twitter.
Okay, cool. I was wondering if you actually went and you were like, I'm going to break this down. And I was like, absolutely. Why didn't we talk about this?
In her hotel room watching the...
Yeah, instead of going to the game. But yeah, Justin Verlander looked great as always. What he's been able to do after surgery, after injuries, is just insane. I don't know. Could be inching towards another Cy Young.
I feel like you see a performance like that. I mean, he hit 99.3. I didn't know that he was going to be able to still hit that high on the radar gun. That's, I think, the most impressive part about him. What part of his game has deteriorated over the years?
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think that there were some who maybe were thinking to themselves, especially with, you know, all the spider tack that was going on in baseball. Hey, he joined the Astros. And Brent Strom seemed to have something going on with all these pitchers that allowed them to refine the fountain of youth, like Cole Hamels, too. But, no, Verlander's just still Verlander. And I, just like with Tom Brady, I do not know how you physically can be as gifted as you were at age 35, 34, when you are in your 40s. I get it. Pitching is a weird act. Throwing a football is a weird act. It's still just incredible that he's this good, especially when you see other guys start to deteriorate when they get to that age.
All right, let's do tonight, by the way, they are at the Athletics, 8:40 p.m. I absolutely hate the West Coast times.
I do, too.
But they are what they are.
The A's suck, too. They should have to play this game on Central Time, right? Come on.
This is the real team that we have to watch for in the AL West. This is the team that has our number.
No, I know, Sean, because what?
Those, those jokers that you were hanging out with.
I do think that...
hey, don't hate on my friends.
It was nice to see Lance McCullers Jr., get a start under his belt for the AA Corpus Christi Hooks. I think it's Corpus Christi.
The Hook
the
will get you back.
Yeah, the Hooks.
The Hooks. We'll
on this
see
you
how
can
that...
rely.
Huh?
The Hook will get you back. On this you can rely. Don't you know who that's by?
Is this a poem?
We did a promo for them. I actually forgot the name of the band.
Shel Silverstein?
Blues Traveler.
Blues Traveler, yeah.
Oh, why you want to give me the run?
Yeah, same thing. Yeah.
At Athletics tonight, 8:40 p.m.
Ugh.
Here's a little segment that Paul made up.
What's that?
For his beloved Seattle Mariners.
Oh, yeah.
Little Mariners watch action.
Oh, yeah. Can we play the music?
Hit it.
Mariners watch.
A radio show host in Seattle called Paul Gallant.
2022.
Is that Tucker Carlson?
Without Julio Rodriguez, they're screwed.
That has been Mariners watch 2022.
There you go.
I was thinking about doing like a log, like diary entry. Like, hey,
July 25th. 2022.
But I was thinking about it, and I was like, I mean, unless they have Julio Rodriguez in that series, they have no chance at all against this Astros team. None. Like, he is the only thing that's an equalizer. And it's funny, you know, you would think that the Angels would maybe get the same kind of contributions from Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani, that would make you feel, when they go up against the Astros in a series, that they could beat them. But no. And that's the Mariners, though, right now. I mean, he is legitimately the thing that has made that team go on the run that they've gone on ever since he had that, like, rough opening month of the year. But without him, they had no chance.
What was the reaction from the people that you were with? Because you were with people that are diehard Mariners fans,
yes,
and that cover the Mariners and don't have this, like, split mistress situation.
Well, so we did this thing before the game where we all told ourselves, we're not going to look at our phone once during the game. And whoever looks at their phone first has to buy a round. If you're ever out with friends, do that sometime. Everyone put their phones in the middle of the table, and whoever looks at the phone first has to buy a round of drinks for everybody.
What are you, a freaking pilgrim?
That's fun. I mean, it allows you to, I don't know, spend time with other people.
Oh, you did it to be in the moment.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cute.
Yeah.
That's cute.
But
it's not like a Dave Chappelle special.
Yeah.
Exactly. You
can't record anything we're saying.
I didn't understand.
No. It wasn't that. So as soon as that took place, everyone noticed, wait a second, where the hell is Julio Rodriguez? Why isn't he in center field? What's going on? What is going on?
So
what
you
is
guys,
happening?
You guys didn't know because you weren't on your phones.
So they all started looking at their phones, and I said, that's erroneous. You owe me a round if they didn't get me around for that. So I'm still kind of mad about that. You should have had to get me a drink. I said that you can't look at the phone, but they were looking at their phone for legitimate reasons. And then once they found out Julio was out, and again, Altuve home run. Like, the series was over on the first, like, pitch. It was crazy.
It's nice to see the Astros do well and get a win over a team that a lot of people, a series win, a sweep against a team that a lot of folks thought were creeping from behind. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, it may be the most important radio segment that I've ever done since I started here at ESPN 97.5. The roast of Paul Gallant is next.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
People are making negative comments about my polyamorous relationship.
What
is going on? It's 2022. Get used to it.
Are we canceling Paul Gallant? I don't know if we're canceling Paul Gallant, but I do have some questions.
Polyamorous. What's the first syllable in polyamorous, Vanessa?
Poly?
Yeah. Well, the first two syllables, technically.
Yeah, I was going to say Paul.
I'm allowed to do this, okay? I worked in Houston for 8 years. Did I not do the best live broadcast of the Astros winning the World Series in 2017? There is no debate because I said the word bitch in the middle of it, okay? Like I was Jesse Pinkman in Breaking Bad. It was amazing. Take that, Robert Ford. I also worked in Seattle.
Shout out to Robert Ford. Love Robert. Let's back up here because I'm not saying that you don't have legitimate reasons to cheer for multiple teams or want multiple teams to do well, blah, blah, blah. All of us that have worked in media, we've moved around. You get to know the players, etc. Just so everybody knows Paul Gallant's history, he did work in Houston. First of all, actually, raised a Boston Red Sox fan, which we're not even going to get into because people from Boston are supposedly so diehard, as I look at myself.
But I don't consider myself from Boston anymore, if that makes sense.
You're from south to southie.
I'm from wherever I feel like I'm from on a given day.
And you can identify as that nowadays. So,
yes, thank you.
Paul Gallant, born and raised in Boston, a Red Sox fan, but shredded that fandom. Moved to Houston and worked in Houston for 8 years.
Yes.
Then moved to Seattle for 2 years.
Yes.
And then now, obviously, is back in Houston.
Correct.
So Houston 8 years, Seattle 2 years, back in Houston. So when the Astros played the Mariners this weekend, we found out Paul was going to go and hang out with some of his Seattle friends. And I just told him, I said, have fun. Let me know how the game is. Tweet out updates. Take lots of pictures. I only have one rule. Please do not wear a split jersey or a split shirt.
You shouldn't
because
have said
it's
that.
Tacky. And it makes no sense. And there are very, very, very few people in life who have the right to wear a split jersey or a split shirt.
Who?
And what did you do?
I wore a split shirt.
You wore it? Not only that, he got it tailored.
Yes.
And made before his trip.
Shout out to the Brass Thimble up in Jersey Village. My people, they have been tailoring my stuff for a long time. And I said, hey, can you put this together? And they said, wait, you serious, Paul? And I was like, yeah. So I had two t-shirts. I had an old school Mariners t-shirt, an old school Astros t-shirt.
So bad.
Put them together. They did a great job.
I will say
it looks amazing.
We love supporting local businesses, and it is a well-tailored shirt.
Thank you.
Let
if
me
you
give
want
you
to look like Paul Gallant, go to the Brass Thimble.
Right. It was a schmedium. There was a little schmedium. Not exactly.
What? I'm sorry. I have large pecs. Stop hating on me because I can't wear a large, and if I wear a medium, it's always a little snug. Thank you. Shaming me for my kinks. This is kink shaming, first off.
Well,
second off, shaming me for my appearance. Vanessa, I thought you were better than that. I guess
you
not.
Are about to be shamed because there are two people in the world that are allowed to wear split jerseys or split shirts.
Two.
Number one, if you have children on both teams.
Now, Julio Rodriguez is my son on the Mariners, and Jose Altuve is my son, even though he's older than me, on the Astros.
Amon-Ra and Equanimeous Ra, their parents, they play for the Packers and Lions. Their parents obviously wore split jerseys when the Packers played the Lions. It was cute. That's number one. You have children on both team, automatic pass for the split jerseys, split shirts, whatever you want to do. The second type of person is if you have a relative on one team and a lover on the other team. Now, this doesn't happen very often. It happened when Laura Quinn, sister of Brady Quinn, was dating AJ Hawk. She eventually went on to marry AJ Hawk. Laura, you get the second exception. That one happens less often, but it does happen.
And the third exception is when you're a pioneer.
A pioneer? You covered the Mariners for 2 years.
Yes, and we became very close
that
in those 2 years.
That doesn't mean you get to wear a split jersey or a split
yes,
shirt.
Yes, it does.
Erroneous.
It does. Okay, so first off, when I was in
I covered
Seattle,
the Bengals and the Texans. I will never wear a half Bengals, half Texans jersey.
When I was in Seattle.
Won't happen.
Let me explain this. When I was in Seattle, I thought I was never going to come back. You know why I thought I wasn't going
because
to come back?
Because
I did not
life.
Think anyone here in Houston on the radio wanted me back. So big thanks to David Cal. I didn't think anyone wanted me back.
Actually really sad.
Well, yeah. I was in a pretty damn low place when I got canned at 6:10.
Took a dark turn.
Yes, it did. So I go up there and I'm like, I'm going to totally embrace Seattle from the start. Because it took me a while to embrace everything Houston when I first moved here. But at the same time, when that cheating scandal popped up, I always defended the wall. I always caped, and it probably did not help me out in the long run that I was defending the Astros, okay? But along the way, I became very good friends with Mariners fans up there, and I feel a special kinship with those people because they're a beaten-down fan base that is very similar to Texans fans. They're so similar in so many different ways. They're jaded, they're cynical, and they're kind of funny, which is how I feel most diehard Texans fans are because they are like, this sucks, this is terrible. I don't know if it's ever going to get better. And I thought it would be disrespectful for me to go back up to T-Mobile Park and to wear my Nolan Ryan throwback jersey because I feel like if it was any other stadium, I wouldn't feel bad about it. But I thought to myself, I want to show a little bit of respect to the Mariners while also showing support to the Astros as
so
I go
you
there.
You could have just worn like a black shirt. You didn't have to wear – Sean, help me. He could have just worn a black shirt, right?
I'm a peacock. What did you think I was going to do? I'm a show pony. This is all for the station. This is all for the content. It's July, damn it, Vanessa. What were we going to talk about today, huh?
Nobody has the right to wear split jerseys.
I do.
Or split shirts.
I do.
Unless you have children on both teams.
Again.
Or you have one relative and one lover.
Julio Rodriguez is my child. I know we don't look
the
similar.
The Laura Quinn Hawk rule slash the Raw rule. I just can't believe you
to
did
be
this.
To be fair, how long was Laura Quinn dating AJ Hawk before she wore that split
the fact
jersey?
That it turned into a marriage with kids, though, it's like she knew.
Yeah.
What
we're
do they say?
The
when you
there.
Know, you know. I'm single, so I wouldn't know. But I've heard when you know, you know. So shout out to Laura and anybody who has children on both teams. I, however, was not the only one to bully you.
Oh, my God, yeah.
So the internet bullied you.
Here's how it started. My buddy, Mike Lefko, who I used to do shows with at Syracuse, ended up working with me at the station in Seattle I worked at. And he just tweeted out after he picked me up from the airport because I was wearing the shirt. And he said, wow, I saw someone wearing a half Astros, half Mariners jersey.
And he didn't know it was you.
He knew it was me.
Okay.
He just posted this and he didn't say who it was. So everyone started losing their mind on this based in Seattle. It made it to Mariners Reddit, which I am blocked from for some reason.
Blessed.
And I thought to myself, oh my God, this is funny. I'm just going to slow play this because people were sending absolutely vicious things in. And then, of course, I posted it and the mean comments continued. And I thought, okay, well, at least we can read some of the mean ones on the air on Monday. So how about a little music, please?
And I have not read any of these, by the way. So this is my real-time reaction.
I'm glad you got fired.
No.
I retweeted this saying, but where? Because it's funny, because I've been fired in both Seattle and Houston. I thought that was actually very funny. Some people were like started riding on the white knight into the family. I was like, no, that's kind of funny. Death by trash can, said another person. I felt like that was a little violent, also, you know, intimating something.
Referencing
that,
the Astros, of course.
It allegedly.
Yeah, we should get them suspended from Twitter.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Go report them.
The Drake of sports radio.
Yeah, that's a good one. It's
a good compliment.
One.
LMAC, Paul, that shirt makes me want to throw up.
Fair.
What else do we have here? Puke. Well, one team had fun, because I said I just want both teams to have fun. Yeah, the Mariners didn't have any fun this weekend, did they? What else do we have here? It did say Mararose, if you actually look at the jersey, because it's split in the middle. So it looks like some sort of Italian soccer team that I was wearing the jersey of. Another person. So he only cheats half the time. Again, that's allegedly. I feel like that's not very nice to say.
It matches your relationship history, though.
Nice fence you're riding. Ugly-ass shirt. wrote another person. Someone said, who made this trash? And I responded saying, my mommy, how dare you? But actually, it was, again, the brass thimble. So glad you're not
Everybody
on the radio.
Hurts. But you are on the radio.
That's true. That's
Jokes
true.
On them.
Yeah.
You just read it on the radio.
You're on real thin ice, Gallant, wrote Dustin. Blocked. Another person. That's stupid. Can't have broth. That person spelled that wrong. I want to punch you in the face. Okay. What the bleep, Polly G. Okay. That shirt and you should be set on fire.
That is incredibly violent.
Yeah. Get out of town already.
Oh, you just got back.
I know.
Yeah, hey, there you go.
Limp wrister. I don't know what that means. And then, of course, last but not least, small penis boy, you suck.
Yeah, that one was
small
aggressive.
Penis man.
Yeah, thank you.
And very specific. We want your opinions on this, although I think you all know I'm right. 713-780-3776. Feel free to call in the show. Who's right? If you're Paul Gallant, is it okay for you to wear split jerseys just because
totally
you covered
fine.
Both teams? Or do you follow the Vanessa Richardson rule only if you have children or one relative and one lover? What,
can I have adopted children?
No, I don't think you need to have any children, Paul.
Whoa, again. Like just
yet. Yet. Eventually you'll be ready.
When do you think I'll be ready? When will I know?
I think you should just wait a little while.
How long?
No comment.
3 years,
eventually
4 years?
You will have children in your home. And if you have children in your home or you just own your home, listen to me. Get TGS insurance already and save money. I know it's a hassle to shop for home insurance. No longer, my friends. Thanks to TGS, they have a new system. It instantly shops over 36 carriers and you get your full quote within 15 seconds. So all you have to do is take your phone out, text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system asks for your home address. You send it back and you get great coverage within 15 seconds. This is a legit company. It's not a scam, I promise. $870. That's the average that their customers from last year save. Again, I know you don't like to shop for home insurance, but TGS makes it the easiest it's ever been. Get out your phone, text money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and save big today.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, we have some texts. We have some Twitch comments. Somebody on Twitch said, Paul just looked at that shirt, missed opportunity to cut off the R in Astros and have it say Mario's. It's a good one.
Yeah, but that would have been too far. Yeah, you had to have people know which half was which. And as someone who went to Dodger Stadium wearing an Astros shirt, only to find out no one recognized that it was an Astros shirt, I realize that if I'm going to be the little attention whore that I am, I need to do it in a way where it's very clear to everyone there. So multiple people have texted in, Paul Gallant is a homie hopper.
That is, yeah.
I mean, in a lot of different ways.
He was the one defending homie hopping.
He was.
Yeah.
He just did a week defend ago. Homie hopping.
Yeah. Well.
My friends and I would never.
Some of us are progressive and other people are conservative,
again,
stuck in their own little box.
Yeah,
again,
sorry, I don't screw my friend's significant others.
Well, I mean, it's her choice. It's my choice. It's not the last person's choice anymore. Text in, talk about your children all you want, Paul, but Yordan is every Mariner's daddy. That is an A-plus text on the text line. I like you, Paul, but the shirt is dumb. No, man, you just don't get
yes,
it.
Yes, thank you. I love showing, Paul, too, but the shirt is dumb.
It was showing support, man. Another texter says, yeah, I feel for Paul. Thank you. Thank you, okay? It's hard to be this handsome with these large
that person did not
pecs.
Say that.
He said, I feel bad for Paul.
He didn't say you have large pecs and that you're handsome.
I just don't.
He might have said he feels sorry for you. I can see that angle, all right?
Well, I'm just, you know, going where he was naturally about to take it.
Paul.
What?
What anyway. Else do we have? Anything good?
No, no. We'll have some more, I'm sure.
We will. And we want your opinion. Who's right? Does Paul get to do the split jersey, or do you abide by the Vanessa Richardson? You must have relatives or lovers on both teams.
I don't care about your rules, people.
I know.
I just don't care, okay? I'm going to go love my side piece as much as I want to. I will admit, like, she probably should have worn her makeup, probably should have played Julio Rodriguez.
Your side piece.
When I, you know, travel thousands of miles to visit.
The mistress is supposed to be hot.
Yeah, make a little effort, but okay. Look, it's still 2022.
To quote Paul,
get used to it.
All right, it is time for our daily NFL countdown.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Cat, hush!
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Vanessa and Gallant.
All right, 45 days. 45 days till the NFL regular season kicks off. Paul, our jersey expert, who is your choice for number 45?
I'm going to give you a safety that played for the Seattle Seahawks, Kenny Easley, who played for Seattle from 1981 through 1987. He won the Defensive Player of the Year award as a safety in 1984. Career came to a bummer of an end. He was traded to the Phoenix Cardinals for a quarterback, but during the mandatory team physical, he was diagnosed with idiopathic nephrotic syndrome, which is a severe kidney disease. It voided the trade, and that was basically it. So he ended up getting a new kidney. He's fine. But the guy was, during the 80s,
shout out to the kidney,
an incredible safety for the Seattle Seahawks, who randomly had very good defensive backs in another decade. Tons of them. He was one of many that played for that team.
Of course, it was a Seahawk.
Yeah, I was going to say.
No, just being consistent.
Find a Texan.
Yeah, do you have a split
45?
Seahawks Texans jersey?
Best. Well, no, I wouldn't do that.
All right.
I mean, I got to say, though, like, you guys know my stance on the Texans uniforms. Like, I just don't like the Texans unis. And
it's a fashion choice.
If I was wearing I'm not kidding, though. When it comes to Texans gear, Sean, it is a fashion choice. There's not one piece of Texans gear that is available anywhere online that I feel like looks good. Period. End of story.
You don't like the red, white, and blue because you're anti-American.
The old Seahawks jerseys, meanwhile, look sick, and Kenny easily wore them in the 1980s. They should go back to them.
We do have something that is sad to talk about, and it's definitely worth mentioning because our hearts and prayers are with John Metchie III.
Oh, God, this sucks.
Diagnosed with APL, acute promyelocytic, and I'm definitely butchering that. It's known as APL leukemia. This was the statement from John Metchie III that was posted on the Texans' Twitter. Recently, I was diagnosed with APL, the most curable form of leukemia. I'm currently receiving great medical care, am in good spirits, and I expect to make a recovery at a later point in time. As a result of this diagnosis, I will likely not be playing football this season. My main focus will be on my health and recovery. Thank you in advance for your support and well wishes. I cannot wait to come back stronger than ever. God bless. We don't know details on how this was found out, whether it was, you know, because he's rehabbing that ACL. Did they do a blood test? But regardless, really, really hope that he is able to focus on his health. Hope that he's getting proper care. I know that we have amazing medical facilities here in Houston, but we are thinking of John Metchie III. So sad.
We have seen a lot of guys with Hodgkin's lymphoma suffer that, come back from it in the NFL. Most recently, James Conner, running back for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Eric Berry, a safety for the Kansas City Chiefs. And we've seen some other guys. Trent Williams, who had cancer, were able to come back. He had a cancerous growth, I believe, on his head. And guess where that took place? Washington football team. The Washington football team doctor supposedly said that the growth was not something serious. And he was like, it was cancer. So one of many things that Washington football team has screwed up over the last 30 years. Anyway, to go back to Metchie, it does suck. Great that they found it. Great that he is in Houston, of all cities,
yes,
to fight this. And, you know, we'll see where this goes. It is definitely a bit of a bummer when it comes to his NFL career, but he's young, and we obviously all wish him the best, and hopefully he shocks the world and he comes back and ends up being a contributor for this team.
Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to be cleared until August. So I saw this morning on Good Morning Football. It was Ian Rappaport reporting, which means I pretty much trust it. Shoulder not expected to be fully recovered until possibly August. I don't know that this actually impacts any trade so far because I haven't seen one that looks viable and like it's actually going to happen. I think Jimmy G ends up starting for a team, sadly enough, maybe whoever has like a quarterback that gets sick or not sick, but injured. But that's the latest on Jimmy G.
San Francisco should keep him.
We just haven't heard that much about it.
I'm with you, and I think that the lack of a market for him outside of what you're talking about, Vanessa, some sort of extenuating circumstance, that really, I think, says a lot. I think the Falcons should think about it because Mariota's not good. I feel like there are other teams as well that, at the very least, could entertain it. But at the end of the day, what is the point of trading for an expensive quarterback who you know the ceiling of? You know what Jimmy G's ceiling is, and it's not a bad ceiling by any means. But, you know, we're talking about a two-story house here.
Right.
We're not talking about some sort of mansion. And the ceiling is settling, if you will, to use homeownership terms.
There you go.
Boom.
Davante Adams, what's the ceiling for Derek Carr? He thinks it's pretty darn high. In fact, he thinks he's a Hall of Famer.
I mean, anytime you change quarterbacks from, you know, a Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer, you go, you know, Stabler to Rich Gannon or whoever you go to, it's going to be a little bit of an adjustment. And, you know, both are great players and great to be around. So I'm just enjoying that process and getting better myself, you know, trying to do as much as I can to help these guys go out there and win as many games as we can.
So that was, of course, him talking about going from Aaron Rodgers to Derek Carr. He did issue a quote-unquote clarification, which sounded a little bit like, hey, he hasn't shown that he has an MVP yet, but he will be a Hall of Famer. I understand the game he's playing. I know he has to hype up his new guy. I would just strongly suggest that he try to venture away from comparing the two, although that's not always possible because the media makes him.
You kind of have to, right? And you have to stand up for your guy. Derek Carr has received MVP votes before. I think it was 2016. He got a couple of MVP votes. Should he have gotten them? I don't know. How would that game in the playoffs against the Brock Osweiler-led Houston Texans have gone had Derek Carr been healthy and it wasn't Connor Cook, I think, starting under center for the Raiders? Another great question. Great Texans playoff victory. One of the best wins of the Bill O'Brien era, in my honest opinion. But to circle back to Davante Adams and Derek Carr, I'm very curious as to how a college rapport translates at the NFL when the guys have not been with one another for a really long time. Because we've obviously seen with Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow right from the start with that LSU connection that they've had. I mean, that's obviously been great. This does seem like something, given that they are extremely friendly with one another too and that this has always been a dream of theirs to play together. This does seem like something that actually could potentially get a next level of Derek Carr, but how much higher? It's sort of like with Jimmy G. How much higher are we really getting with Carr? I will say, though, I was impressed by what seemed like actual improvement by Derek Carr last year. I just wonder if it's one of those Ryan Tannehill kind of improvements where you see it temporarily and then it kind of flutters back to the norm for his entire career.
There is an update from your girl, Josina.
Josina! Yeah, gosh. I got to say, when it comes to Josina Anderson, there are things that she puts out and you read them and you're like, did she actually say anything? And
it's called an update that's a non-update.
Everything that she has reported about Deshaun Watson has essentially been this. Quote, after telling me, humble brag, early last week a decision was not expected in the Deshaun Watson proceedings last week, in parentheses, but still saying never say never as a tiny caveat, end parentheses, a league source says this morning, it's possible, not saying anything else. Thank you, Josina.
So in other words, it's possible, but it's also not possible.
Anything is possible!
Great reporting. Thank you. Look, I understand the game she's trying to play. Once she left, where was she last? NFL Network or ESPN? I don't know. She's now with CBS HQ, CBS headquarters, and she, you know, I saw her at the Combine. All the respect for women that grind, that do the job. I don't know that the updates / non-updates are overly helpful. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, a current NBA player that is just determined to beef. Do you agree with what this man has to say about basketball eras? And of course, it's our In Case You Missed It Monday segment. But first, Paul is going to tell you about PIN.
The Passive Investor Network, people. Look, you're looking to invest in real estate. You're looking to invest in anything. Real estate's the way to go. Prices continue to go up and up and up when it comes to housing prices. And why not join up with a team that really knows how the real estate investment game works? The Passive Investor Network has guys like Ronnie, who is a construction expert who has been doing this for 20 years on the job. What they do is they scout around the area, the greater Houston area. They look for parts of town that they think they can refurbish and make look very, very pretty. They invest in some of these properties, and guess what? You will make money. You get to personalize a five-year plan for yourself, too, with the Passive Investor Network. They sit down with you, and they talk about what is realistic for your goals. It's the Passive Investor Network, passiveinvestor.net. And to see them in action and what they do, you want to go on one of their bus tours. Go to passiveinvestor.net, enter promo code ESPN. Again, promo code ESPN at passiveinvestor.net to go on that bus tour. It's the Passive Investor Network. These are the people you want in your corner when you're looking to invest in real estate.
ESPN. 97.5.
Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, a little in case you missed it Monday. Here's the thing. I like Draymond Green. I think he's been really great for the media game. I think he and CJ McCollum are so interesting because they're playing, but they're also working for major media platforms. Like in Draymond's case, he also has his own podcast, whatever. But he, with these hot takes, is starting to sound like old media, yet he continues to push that new media is different. So here are his tweets from last night, I believe, 9:03 p.m. I'm watching the 98 Bulls versus Utah in the finals. I can't help but notice our 2017 team would have beaten these Bulls by a dub and these Jazz by 40 if they're going to play these brands of basketball, and that's why it's dumb to compare eras. 2 minutes later, learn to appreciate things for what they are, analyze the game, and stop the unnecessary debating. Yours truly, the new media.
Okay, I think that Draymond wasn't being serious with the first part of his tweet, though. I think that was sarcastic, right? Isn't that why he's saying it that way? I could be wrong, Vanessa.
Wait,
this is what, how
wait,
I read
which
it.
Part?
I feel like when he says, when he transitions from saying, I think that we would be able to beat the hell out of this team from back then playing this style of basketball, and that's why you shouldn't compare eras. Am I wrong in thinking that?
Doesn't detect sarcasm very well.
It does not. It does feel like he's trying to make a bigger point there, and I think he also knows that if he words it like this, he can do exactly what he wants to do, which is say, like, see, no one in old media gets what I'm trying to say. Because he's trying to be on an island by himself. But I think that he was more making a point of you can't compare eras. But at the same time, we have heard him get a little bit sensitive when people like Charles Barkley and others have called out the new era of basketball.
Right. But the thing is, when he does this, it literally becomes a first take segment again of who would have won, the 98 Bulls or the 2017 Warriors.
I'm surprised it's not on ESPN right now.
I know. I looked over thinking that it would be on there.
It will
Instead,
be.
They're talking about second-year quarterbacks who will make the big leap. His most recent tweet is, this game being played the free throw line and in, occasionally stepping out to three.
I will say this about Draymond. He's a content machine, right? Like when he says something and has a strong take, it does become anything from a meme to a soundbite to him and Kendrick Perkins launching really specific and personal insults at each other. So I understand. Listen, he's doing what he's doing. He's doing the kind of Patrick Beverley in some ways where you absolutely rake on a couple of people and a couple of concepts, and it ends up making your media career stronger than somebody who plays it bland.
It's weird, though, to continue to go back to this, because I hate comparing eras myself. That's not to say that I don't feel Michael Jordan would be exceptional today, because I think that he's like one of the toughest basketball players we've ever seen.
And I took that personally.
I mean, and I think sometimes when it comes to LeBron, there are moments where you're like, is he always about that? He has had, of course, his big moments where he has stepped up in huge spots, whether it was going up against those Super Warriors teams in the past or, even going back to that time where he just destroyed Boston. He destroyed the Celtics, essentially. He ended the Kevin Garnett Celtics team and made them all like go their separate ways when he had that performance in Game 6. But I think if you're comparing eras, in that time, I know that there were a lot of people that were playing back in the day that were not the most skilled defenders, but there was a lot more physicality that was taking place. And I think that there's a lot of players in today's game that get away with embellishing and flopping on calls that would probably not be called the same way that they are today that they were back in the day. And when you get into just thinking about errors, you just lose yourself and they're like, well, here's why this is different and here's why that is different. I guess he's if he was just making the point that comparing errors was stupid, like that's what I'm hoping for.
I could also just say that.
Right, yeah. And I think that most people from both eras, from all eras, would agree with that because the game has changed so completely. Is there a true center anymore? Blah, blah, blah. I mean, we've literally all heard all of it. There wasn't a three-point line before this, this, and this.
Also,
yeah, it's stupid.
Also, this whole new media thing that he's pushing.
Can't
what's so new
it.
About it? So he just has a podcast. He invented podcasting?
I'm a player podcaster.
J.J. Redick invented that.
I was going to say, hey,
part of the old media.
Great transition. J.J. Redick said that a lot of the old NBA players would have been plumbers, etc. To which Jerry West responded in part, he's a smart kid, but tell me what his career looks like. What did he do that determined games? He averaged 12 points a game. Somewhere along, the numbers count. I am here for a J.J. Redick, Jerry West beef.
The problem with what Redick said is that, and I'm a little biased here because we're talking about Celtics history, but he basically said Bob Cousy sucks.
Right.
If he was playing in today's game, okay, maybe he would not be able to stand up with everybody that's playing these days. But Bob Cousy, for his time, was one of the best basketball players of his era, for what it's worth. And I think that that's what Jerry West took issue with, because Jerry West was one of the best players of his era as well. And J.J. Redick to a Bob Cousy, to a Jerry West, is 100% nowhere near their level. He's not. I mean, as far as being historic and remembered and all those things, J.J. Redick is more remembered for his time at Duke than he is for an almost 20-year career in the NBA, right?
The thing that I always give these guys credit for and understand in a way, and you have been here specifically, where you say one thing or you tweet one thing, in your case, and people just blow it up and go with it. And you're like, okay, but I gave context and I said a million other things around that thing and nobody cares about. So I didn't watch the full segment. I think that it was irresponsible for J.J. Redick to say that. But maybe he did provide some context that we're not hearing.
But also, I think it's like it's a point that he's making that NBA players now are better than they were 50 years ago,
right,
which I don't think anyone would necessarily disagree with. The level of basketball player you have to be successful now is much higher. And then, but he's on First Take with Chris Russo, so he has to judge it up. He has to make good TV.
That's a great point. He has to frill it up a little bit.
His whole point is like a First Take contrivance.
Who hasn't used hyperbole to make a point?
Totally.
So Redick was using hyperbole to make a point, but if we're talking era versus era, which again, I hate these conversations, but I've always thought that if you were to take somebody from, I don't know, the 50s or 60s, put them in a time machine and have them travel to today and have them do all the things off the court that these guys are doing today and also incorporate how basketball has much, much more accepted the three-point line.
Tell them to stand back 5 more feet.
Some of these guys were doing that. I mean, it's a two-point shot. There was no point in shooting from a million miles away, but some guys actually could hit two-point shots.
Jerry West did that.
Right. Yeah. Even if it looked weird. So I've always thought that if you were to have somebody from today's game travel back in time and play in the past, they would probably do pretty well, although they would take some time to, assimilate themselves. And they might be called for a travel or a carry or two. And on the other side of things, if you were to transport someone back into the future from back in the day, I feel like if you gave them, a couple of months, I feel like they would probably get up to speed pretty damn quickly. We're talking the best players here. And then, again, this conversation just becomes stupid because time machines aren't real and they don't exist and they probably never will.
That you know.
Come on.
Yeah.
What, do you think time machines are real right now?
No, I don't. All right, so Texas A&M got
what's
as many
Elon Musk hiding?
Votes to win the SEC as Vanderbilt. We talked about this with Josh Beard on Friday since he was an Aggie, and we had a lot of fun with it. Paul, what are your thoughts on Texas A&M getting as many votes to win the SEC as the prestigious Vanderbilt, which their football coach says will be the top program in the country?
Okay, who's the Vanderbilt person that voted here, right? It has to be the person that covers Vanderbilt on a daily basis. Did he just do it because the guy that the coach for Vanderbilt said, yeah, we're going to be one of the best teams in the country someday? Did he just you know what? I believe
him. You know what? We're doing it.
The wildest part is that South Carolina got 3 votes to win the SEC. That to me is crazier than Vandy and Texas A&M got 1. Because basically, Vandy got 1 as probably a joke. Texas A&M got 1 as dart throw, sure. There's no case you can make for South Carolina.
The Vandy one, well, you can't make a case for Vandy either, can you?
Well, just as a joke.
Yeah, but if you're voting as a joke, Sean, shouldn't you have your vote removed immediately?
Eh.
Eh? Okay.
I mean, it is a preseason SEC poll. It is like the lowest level of like voting that there is. It's just so we can say, you know, they're a favorite to win the conference, or not a single person thought they would win the conference. And then, you know, everyone looks like idiots.
Kentucky got a couple of votes too, if I'm not mistaken. I think they got four. South Carolina got three. I don't even think Florida got a vote, which was kind of surprising, but you know.
Vince McMahon, in case you missed it, continues, has retired, and I put retired in quote marks, from as the head of WWE. His daughter and Nick Khan are supposed to take over, but I read that he still has stock in it, so he may still be making decisions from behind the scenes. But this is interesting. Look, I've never pretended like I'm the biggest WWE fan in the world. It's very niche, and you either like it or you love it or you don't follow it. I don't really follow it, but I know that Vince McMahon is a big deal.
If you retire in professional sports these days and no one is 100% sure if they should take it seriously, like with Tom Brady or Rob Gronkowski, how seriously should we take someone from a literal show tune in spandex? How seriously should we take Vince McMahon retiring? Right. Like, isn't this is probably a storyline, isn't it? Right? For the show?
No, because I think he paid women. It came out that he paid women millions of dollars.
Yeah, it's a
storyline.
It's a retire so I don't get fired right. and sued.
Right. But Charlotte, his daughter, is going to be running things. And then Nick Khan, former sports media agent.
Stephanie, his daughter.
Stephanie, thank you. Stephanie. Oh, Charlotte Flair. Charlotte is Ric Flair's daughter. I get all the big guys confused. Mm. But yeah, they're going to be running the show now. So we'll see. I don't know. Any WWE fans, call us and let us know if you think this is a big deal, because we have no clue.
Yeah.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, a little
it's still real to me, damn it.
Astros recap, and we want, of course, your opinions on the hot topic of the day. Was Paul's shirt, half Mariners, half Astros, as bad as I think it was, or are you on Team Paul? Let us know. That's, of course, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant.
ESPN 97.5.